If you're taking notes, the title of the message is, What Do You See? What do you see? And again, it's about the faith pictures. That's the basis for what I'm going to be talking about today, but it's coming from a different angle. And I think today that you're going to see not only God in a different way and Jesus in a different way, but also you see yourself in a way that maybe you never looked at yourself. The same thing goes for every person around you. Every person we meet, we'll see them in a different way. Amen?
Amen.
They always say whenever you do something the first time that you got from somebody else, you give them credit. But after that, it's yours. So I'm going to go ahead and give credit to Barry Bennett. He's an instructor out at Karis Bible College in Colorado. And the message that I'm doing today is an offspring from one that I listened to him do. So I've given him credit. So now I can make it mine. So the message originated from a verse in 1 Timothy. If you would, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And those of you who have your phones, you're welcome to tune in on that too. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 12 through 14. It says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I was looking at that and I said, when did this character named Saul look like he was faithful? And that was his name before he became Paul. When was he faithful? The only thing that I saw in the scriptures that he was faithful about was persecuting the church.
Yes.
And he was very zealous about that. He even got letters to carry to the synagogues in different places to have the Christians put in jail. Because he was against the way. And he was going to destroy that because he saw that as encroaching on Judaism. So he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And so he was going to protect the Judaism religion from the way. Okay? So think about it. At what time would God have counted the Apostle Paul faithful before whenever he was known as Saul? Before he was called to the ministry. And as we answer that, then that's going to be the key to the whole message today, okay? So let's look at 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians. I think it's 4. If I can read my writing. In verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. With our natural eyes, we look at things in the natural, and it says that those things are temporary. But if we look with our spiritual eyes at the spirit realm, those things that you cannot see with your natural eyes, those are the things that are eternal.
Yeah.
So he's saying that we're supposed to be looking to the eternal things. We're supposed to have spiritual eyes that can see into the spirit realm and see the same way that God sees things.
Yeah.
So that's a hint on where we're going. Amen. The next one, turn to Romans 1 and verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He's saying that the invisible things, the spiritual things, can be seen clearly by the things which have been made. So whenever we see things in the natural, he's demonstrating that it was already created in the supernatural or in the spirit realm before it ever existed in the natural realm. Okay? So we're setting out a pattern here of how God has enabled us to use our spiritual vision and see things the way they actually started before they ever became manifest in the natural world. Okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the Garden of Eden. Now, things had been created prior to the Garden of Eden, right?
Yes.
The heavenlies existed, other planets, things like that. Everything was set up in an order in which God was going to debut his pinnacle of creation. Anybody know what the pinnacle of creation is? Mankind. Amen. You've been good students. Amen. So he set everything up where it was all ready to put man into the garden, that he was furnished with everything that he needed. All the oxygen he needed to breathe, all the water he needed to drink, all the food that he needed to eat, everything, including himself. Because man was created for fellowship. Did you know that God is love, and that love desires fellowship? Love desires another being to pour out that love upon, to cherish, to honor, to love. And so that's why man was created, and that's why man is the pinnacle of God's creation. Because everything that he made was just for man. God didn't need any of the things that he made. But I'll let you in on a hint. He needed man to pour out his love on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why you are his heart. Can you see yourself that way today?
Yes.
What do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you see a little weight around the waist? Do you see freckles in places where they shouldn't be? Or warts or whatever? You know, we always see the imperfections, but God sees us in a different way. As we go through the garden, we would see the plants, the different type of plants, different type of animals. And God had set them in place so that they would reproduce after their kind. All the animals would reproduce and fill the earth after their kind. How about the plants? He said that the plants would give out seed, and the seed would reproduce after their kind also. Have you ever thought about mankind? They were to replenish the earth. And the seed and the sperm and the egg would reproduce after their kind. Now, what is mankind modeled after? God. God. It says that he was made in our image after our likeness. That means the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all were involved in the creation of man. And he was created just like God. And then everything got messed up, of course, but that's all right. Jesus came and he made everything right that was wrong in the garden. He gave us back everything we lost and added to it. Amen? He's that good. He never let anything go at the status quo. It was always better. You know, He does exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can ask or think. He's a God of excellence. He's a God of more than enough. So He didn't let things go just as being equal to in the garden. We actually are much better off today than Adam and Eve were. Even though they walked in the garden in the evening, cool of the evening with God, they were not inhabited by God as Christians are today. We have a better covenant based upon better promises.
Yes.
So all through history, God has shown Himself faithful to mankind.
Yes.
To give him what he didn't even know that he needed. He's gone above and beyond anything that we can ask or think. Praise the Lord for that. Amen.
Amen.
So that's kind of setting the stage for where we're going to go. Mankind, being a product of our Heavenly Father in the creation, has been set up to bring forth fruit unto God. Now mankind, because of what happened in the garden, was brought forth in sin. But God had a way that He took care of that. He rectified everything that happened in the garden that was bad and turned it all around for our good. And then He came to dwell in us and give us the grace, the ability that we could not in our humankind produce anything in our lives that was good except for His grace. And so He's placed His grace in us to produce everything that's good in our lives, to give us the God kind of life that was lost in the garden. So we excel in everything today because of that grace that God has given to us. Now, there's some other things that God has given to us in looking at that. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Everybody keeping up so far? Good. You know, I hope I won't have the effect on y'all that I do on my wife. She says, whenever I'm not sleepy, I'll put on your recording and I'll listen to it and I'll go right to sleep. That might be stretching a little bit. I don't think she said it that way, but it's okay. Okay. I think she meant that it brought peace to her anyway.
Yes.
I'm going to believe that. Well, that's the truth or not. 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1 and verses 8 and 9. Okay. Oh, 8 through 10. All right. Everybody there? 2 Timothy 1. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. I don't know about y'all, but that was a mouthful. There's a lot packed in there. But did you notice that we as human beings, mankind, was called according to His purpose, and grace was given to accomplish the purpose that He had placed in us? I'll let that sink in just a minute. And when was the time that He did that? Before time began. Our Heavenly Father saw us here today, now, before time began, and He placed in Adam and Eve, who are the creation for all mankind, He placed the purpose and the grace in Adam and Eve for us today, for such a time as this. Am I stretching you too much? That's how much He loves us. He prepared for us back before time began to pour His love out on us. Because if you can understand that in the seed and the egg in Adam and Eve, we were already in the seed and the egg. God planned for us back then. Every person that could have been born and that has been born today has that place within them. A purpose and the grace to accomplish the destiny that God has already placed in them. You were planned. You were planned for. You had a destiny before you were ever born. And God placed it inside of Adam and Eve, and then it was transferred through generation after generation after generation. And if you look into the future, He's placed that in each of our children. Mm-hmm. And our children's children, and our children's children's children. And it goes on, because God is a God of relationship. So He has great things for each one of us. An awesome purpose, a destiny. And He's given us His grace to accomplish it. Everything He's placed in us to accomplish it and manifest it into this natural realm. It's all been placed in each one of us. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen yourself that way? I got to raise both my hands. I never saw it that way. And I'm grateful that God has revealed it, because it puts a whole different light, not only on how I see myself, but how I see everybody else.
Yes.
Even the people that are unlovely.
Amen.
People that we look at that we don't like their actions, we don't like what they stand for, things of that nature. That, I just don't like them, comes up inside. I look at those people differently today because of what God has spoken through His Word about His mankind that He created and placed in them everything at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And planned and prepared for them a destiny. Now, we're involved in it. I understand. We can cooperate with Him, and we can live an abundant, blessed life. Jesus said, I come give you life and give it more abundantly. Live the God kind of life here on this earth. So we do have a part to play in that. But there's another part of it that I want to show you as I go through the message today. And I think you're going to be blessed. Because you're going to see yourself in a way that you can assist in that whole process that you may not have ever seen before. Amen. Do I have you Do I have you hooked yet?
Yes.
Okay. Let me keep up with my notes, like I said. Okay, so Saul, who God renamed Paul, he can say that he counted him faithful whenever he placed him into the ministry before time began.
Yes.
So he had a destiny for Paul, but of course Paul had to accept it. And of course he had a little bit of help, right? I mean, a big spotlight came down and it was so bright that he was blinded temporarily. He heard Jesus' voice, an audible voice. Those that around him didn't understand what the voice was, but they were all scared. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I'm the one you're persecuting. I'm Jesus. That got his attention. That turned him completely around from being a Pharisee of Pharisees to be the one that wrote over 2/3 of the New Covenant. Quite a turnaround, huh? He had been involved in many assassinations, stonings, things of that nature, holding people's clothes so that they could throw better, throwing rocks to kill people who were involved in the Christian way. They call it the way back then. He was consenting to their death. He even received papers to carry to the synagogues, and they would round up the Christians and put them in jail. They would torture them. And many of them were killed because of Paul. And he was thankful, he said, that because that's the man he used to be, that God still considered him faithful and placed him in the ministry. So Paul seized how God saw him and lived out his life after that according to the destiny that God had placed in him before time began. Because he says that God gave him the purpose and the grace to live it out. And he gives Jesus all the credit for flowing through him and accomplishing all these things through him.
Yes.
And remember, it wasn't an easy life. I saw some of the places in Greece where the Apostle Paul slept. And it was a lot of rocks. Rocky place. Caves. And the places that he stayed in jail, particularly in a dungeon, and it was in the lower prison. It was in a hole. And there was sewer running through it.
Wow.
That's where the sewer system was, underneath the jail that came through it. And he was sitting in there after he'd been beaten. He had open wounds. And he was sitting in sewage. And he was praising the Lord and singing. And he says that he suffered some light afflictions. I tell you what, he was a tough character.
Yes.
But it was all because of God's grace.
Yes.
And he says that that's true. That's what got him through everything. It was God's grace. God's ability in him to produce everything through him that he could never do in his own ability. That same grace that was placed in the Apostle Paul is the same grace that he's placed in us and given us a purpose today.
Yes.
Now, each person has a different purpose. I'm not saying that each one of us is called to be the Apostle Paul. But you'll see at the end, it all comes together. Oh, man. We are going to get through this, all right? Just bear with me, okay? Oh, let's see. Okay, we all have acted ignorantly and in unbelief, so we all qualify, right? Has everybody acted ignorantly and in unbelief? I can put both hands and the feet, too, on that, okay? So we all qualify. Now, I want to give you a quote that really struck me that Michelangelo stated. Of course, he was a sculptor and artist, and he did some masterpieces that still people admire today. And he said whenever someone asked him about a block of marble, he said, "I saw the angel in the marble and carved until I set him free." I saw the angel in the marble and I carved until I set him free.
Wow.
Do you think that was a God thing? Do you think that was a picture of how God is working with us today? He sees in us the purpose, the destiny that He placed in each one of us before time began. And He's just chipping away at the unlovely stuff so that we blossom and we come forth in the image that He's placed in us. I can see that you're all thinking now. That's good. It gets even better, believe it or not. It gets even better. Amen? Okay. Can we go back to the Garden of Eden again and see some more things there? As you and your imagination go through the garden, is there a fruit maybe that you enjoy eating today that the first one was made in the garden? I kind of like watermelon. You know, whenever we were kids, we used to chill it, get it real cold on a hot summer day, and then we cut into it, and of course the juice would spurt out of it and everything, and it would crack open because it was ripe and ready, and the smell that would come up, and we'd always take our shirts off, and we'd have the water hose close by, and so we'd get there, and our face would literally go down into it, and juice was running off of our elbows, and you know it was just all down the front of us and everything. I mean, you know, wearing your food's all part of eating, right? That's what Sheila thinks anyway about me. Our washing machine gets a lot of use. But anyway, after we get finished eating all the watermelon, then we take the hose and we hose ourselves down and get all the sticky, sweet stuff off of us because the bees start get attracted then to you. And we just enjoy that. You know, it's like making homemade ice cream. We used to sit on the thing and turn the crank until you couldn't turn it anymore, and then everybody wanted the dasher. You know, those are good things.
Yes.
Think about this. That watermelon has destinies placed in it also. Now, I always thought about the watermelon as being something that I can enjoy on a hot summer day. And it was chilled ice cold. And it tasted so good and it was refreshing. And I just throw the rind and all the seeds out, you know, just dispose of them. And then one day, as I was eating, I got a seed in my mouth. And my sister was close by, and so I learned that I could use the seeds to make projectiles out of them and you know, have a seed fight. Nobody's ever done that, right? Just me, okay.
You're the only one.
I'm the only one, yeah. But there's some other things that you could look at too. You know, some of the seeds that fell down whenever we were eating the woolly mammoth and stuff like that, they came up. They sprouted. And we nurtured those little plants, and they had watermelons on them, and we cut them and chilled them and ate them too. So I figured out there was another thing that could come from those seeds that would bless me. And then later on, we had a little patch, and we planted the seeds in there, and we had more watermelons that had more seeds. And so we looked at it that there could be more destinies in these watermelons than what I'd originally thought. Other than spitting the seeds after we consumed the watermelon, and then planting a few seeds for a few watermelon plants, and planting a little bit more and have a patch. And then we could have planted acres of those seeds and had more plants, and each of the watermelons to be full of not only the meat, but the seeds also, that we could plant more and more. And we could have actually turned that into a business and grown it and hired people and actually sold watermelons all over the U.S. and had shipped the watermelons. So there's a lot of different destinies that could come from the one watermelon that was in the garden that had the seeds that produced all the watermelons that we see in today here in the earth. Because that's where it came from. Did you notice that the destiny of that watermelon was in the eyes of the beholder, called the visionary, the person with a vision that can see more than just eating the fruit and throwing the rind and the seeds away in garbage, but could actually see something much bigger than what most people could imagine could come from that one watermelon and the seeds within it. Has that got you thinking yet? It has me. Notice the grace that was included with that vision or that destiny enabled it to go from just being food alone to a huge national business. The difference there was the visionary. What do you see? Do you see just eating the flesh of the watermelon, throwing everything away, or do you see something that could be not only national but multinational in scope? The grace that's been provided since before time began was available for any destiny that you as a visionary choose. He says that he is capable of everything that we can ask, even more than what we can ask and think. We name the price, so to speak, and it's been paid by His grace to produce whatever imaginations we come up with, the desires that we have in our heart. Those are God-given things. The desires that we have, something that comes from God, is not destructive, it's not evil. Those are things that God has placed in us And we latch hold of that and say, thank you, Jesus. This is something that's divine. It's a spiritual thing. And it can be accomplished. If we can see it, it can be accomplished. Isn't God good?
Amen.
That He would allow us to participate with Him like this and to dream big dreams, to think like what other people think is the impossible. He's the God of the impossible.
Yes.
All things are possible to him that believes. The only question is, do you believe in just having the watermelon for meat and throw it all the rest away? Or do you believe in having something that will reproduce and have people to have jobs and to create income for other families and to see the creation that God has placed within each plant to reproduce after itself and replenish the earth? It's all in the mind of the visionary. So we determine the vision that watermelon is going to have an impact on all mankind. Amen? Yeah, let's look at that. Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20. I'm getting used to this new Bible. Things are not where they were in the other one. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Those are some superlatives there, aren't they? Exceedingly abundantly. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But then there's a disclaimer here. According to the power that works in us.
Yes.
Everything in the New Covenant is by grace through faith, right? So it takes faith for things to operate. The power that He has already supplied through the grace that He's given to us is operated by faith. And of course, you know that faith is a two-way thing. If you look it up, faith is a word that's called persuasion. He is the one who's persuading us. And we reciprocate whenever we're fully persuaded. That's called belief. Just like Abraham, when he was fully persuaded, he did not vary from the promise that God had given to him, that he'd be a father of many nations. So all we do is we just keep persuading ourselves. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ, hearing the gospel of what Christ has done on our behalf. We keep hearing that, and then we believe. And so we believe in Him, and all things are possible to him who believes, right?
Yes.
All things are possible.
Yes.
Even the things that look like, in the natural, it's not going to happen. There's no way that could happen. Yes, there is too. With God, all things are possible. So that power that works in us and through us is released by simply believing God's promises.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
So He's given us all these things in order to bring out the destiny that He has placed in us before time began. Yeah, I agree. And I really hadn't gotten into it good yet. How about our children? How do we see our children? Do we see them as the terrible twos, or headache, or another ache in another part of our body, or how do we see our children whenever they get on their nerves sometimes? Or do we see them as a gift from God that we can shape the destiny of their lives? How do we see our children? Do we see them through God's eyes before time began, that they had a destiny placed in them by God Himself, that He has given them a purpose and the grace to accomplish that purpose through them? How about our marriage? Some people are in situations where they're about giving up. The fighting, the bickering, the lack of this, that, and the other, and they're just ready to chunk it. Is that marriage something that can be saved? Yeah. If they see that other person through God's eyes, they'll see that they're part of that visionary plan to recognize that vision that God has placed in their lives and bring that forth. Communicate that to them. They're for them, not against them. And they'll work together toward that same vision and accomplish what God has placed in each one of them as a result of it. How about your health? Some people struggle with health challenges. And that becomes what they see whenever they look at themselves or think about themselves. Sometimes people see symptoms manifesting all the time and not going away.
Yeah.
Some see cancer. Some see things that are draining their health, such as addictions. How does God look at us? Can we see ourselves the same way He does, through what His Son has done on our behalf? By Jesus' stripes, you were healed. You were healed 2,000 years ago. That grace for your health has been placed in you before you were ever conceived. And it's in you today. All we do is we just release that out. Release the life of Jesus out into our bodies. If we have mental situations, release that life into our minds to make us the way that God has seen us before time began, and to right what was wrong. Because He did that on the cross. Whenever Jesus went in the grave, it says that we died with Him. It says when He arose, we arose with Him to newness of life in Christ Jesus. Now, the sin was upon Jesus. He bore our sins and iniquities. Did you know that He also bore our sickness and disease? He carried them and bore them. Whenever He went in the grave, they went in the grave too. Whenever He arose, they stayed in the grave. And there's no grave marker there, so you can't go back and dig them up. Amen? He bore it and carried it for us, so we don't have to today. He took it upon Himself and buried it. Can you do that? Can you see that? Can you see yourself free? Can you see yourself whole, healed, well in every respect? Vibrant. Living life to the fullest every day, the abundant life that God says that He's given to us in Christ Jesus. Can you see yourself that way? If you can see yourself that way, it says that the heart will produce it. Because all you're doing is you're walking in the destiny that God has already placed in you. You're cooperating with Him. That's what we're doing. Whenever we see ourselves the way the promises say that we are. I know that you're probably thinking, this is really good. I do. But it gets even better. How about your finances? Do you look at just the balance at the end of the page? Do you look at it like watermelon is something to consume? Or do you look at it like seed that you can sow? That can be called an investment, if you like. It depends on where you place it, right? It can either be a debit or it can be an investment or a credit, however you want to look at it. Mm-hmm. Can you see the money that comes into you, your checking account, your savings account? Can you see that through God's eyes? Are there ministries, churches, whatever, that you can sow into to reap what God has placed inside of you and inside of those people in those ministries or those churches? Can you see that? Did you know that you will never sow into anything, any ministry, any church, any business, any activity, that you cannot see the harvest?
Yes.
Think about farmers. Farmers buy a lot of land. Unless they inherit it. They have a lot of equipment, specialized equipment. They have to buy seed, fertilizer, different things like that. They have an investment, a large investment, before anything is ever planted. If they didn't believe in the harvest, they wouldn't plant anything. They have to see that harvest before any kind of move is made financially with equipment and seed and everything else, the land, all of these arrangements that have to be made. They have to see inside of them the harvest that they're going to have. Otherwise, they would never invest. They'd never sow. Can you see the harvest in yourself? Of what God has placed in you before time began. Can you see it? If you can, you'll invest in yourself. Not only money, but your time. Spending time with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Investing in the Word. Spending time in the Word. Listening. Listening to good teaching. Educating yourself in who you really are in Christ Jesus. Having that proper picture about who you really are reinforced over and over again as to who you really are in Christ. The picture that God sees of you, you start seeing yourself that way. And then you can see the destiny that He's placed in you. I know this is kind of heavy, but it gets even better. Did you know that even the lost people that don't know Jesus, that God has placed in them a destiny also? Can we look at those people maybe in the workforce that are around us that are less than lovely, in the way that they behave toward us? Can we see them differently? Does that change the way that we maybe will behave toward them whenever we see them through God's eyes? Rather than someone to be tolerated or shunned, to a person that God sees the value in them, that He's placed some things in them that are worthy, that He counted them faithful before time began, that He gave them a destiny also, and that maybe, just maybe, we could be the visionary that would help chip away what doesn't belong there.
Yes.
And we'll see that destiny come forth in that person.
Yes.
Because the destiny is determined by the visionary. If you can see them the way God sees them, you can be instrumental in that person becoming who God placed in them. Amen. And of course, whenever a person is born again, that puts all of us on steroids. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, all that comes together. Look out, world. We're forced to be reckoned with because God's power is flowing through us out into our surroundings, into everything in our area and beyond. We have a sphere of influence. Have you ever been in somebody's proximity that just overflowed with the love of Jesus? Oh, it's addictive. It's attractive. You want to be around those people. Amen? God set it up that way. You become attractive because they're attracted to His love.
That's right.
And they sense that in you. You sensed it in other people. That's why you want to be around them. So He set us up that way, that we, as the Holy Spirit flows through us, that we could draw men to Jesus. They would see Jesus in us. Since we're filled with the incorruptible seed of God, which is Jesus, whenever we're born again, everything changes for the better.
Yes.
We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's like everything is just opened up. We can be the person we were meant to be. And with His grace, His power to achieve it, it's a sure thing, right? How about the person that has a broken life? Just like a watermelon that fell off the truck and got cracked open and spilled out onto the pavement. The person with a broken life that may be drugs, addiction, alcohol, trouble with the law, criminal record, whatever you want to look at. Those people that look like they might not be a candidate for a destiny like we just talked about. Did you know that watermelon that fell off the truck, those seeds are still in there? You might not want to eat that meat of that watermelon, but the seeds of greatness are still there. God has placed those seeds in that person that fell by the wayside. They still have value. They still have worth.
Yes.
Because God has placed in them a destiny.
Yes.
It may be a detour, but you as a visionary can speak into that person's life. You can see things in them that they can't even see themselves. You can release that person out of that marble by chipping away what doesn't belong there.
Yes. Yes.
With their permission, of course.
Yes.
But then that person that's in there can come out and they can be who God had placed in them. The seeds of greatness are still in that person that's broken.
Yes.
But we can help set those people free. Amen.
Amen.
Mm. I told you it's going to get gooder. You know, Jesus was the one that was sent to bind up the brokenhearted and set the captives free. Let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Believe it or not, we're gonna make it. We're gonna get there. 2 Peter chapter 1. Two through four. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He's given us these great and precious promises that by these we could escape the world, this world of lust, of the things that are going wrong, and have the divine nature come forth from us through these promises. What actually is a promise? Have you ever thought about that? A godly promise. A promise in the Word of God. I want to take you back to whenever maybe you were doing a project for school or scouts or something like that. Whenever they told you a little bit about farming and about seeds and planting the seeds in the soil and watering it and watch it come up and then grow and then produce fruit, and then you would take of that fruit, whatever it was, beans or tomatoes or cucumbers, whatever it came out. You saw the whole process from the seed to the finished product. So you understood that in that seed, there was something in there that caused it to become the plant, full-grown plant, that produced more seeds like that. Have you ever been to one of the places where they sell seeds and some of the bags have burst open and stuff and the seeds have mixed together? And you looked at it and say, what are all these things? I mean, how am I supposed to know what, if I plant it, what's going to come up unless I just plant it and see what comes up? Well, somebody had a bright idea. Whenever you sell the seeds, you sell them in packages. And they have what on it? A picture. The picture's not the picture of the seed, is it? What is the picture of? The full-grown plant that seed becomes after it's placed in fertile soil and watered and tended. It will produce what's in that picture. Did you know that that's what a promise from the Word of God is? God's promises are yes and amen to the glory of the Father. They're all yes and amen. It was set up that way before the foundations of the earth, before time began. He said yes and amen to whatever you say yes and amen to of His promises that you're willing to receive. That's mine. I receive that. That's who I am in Christ Jesus. I'll take that for me. Amen? So the promises are the pictures of the full-grown plant that seed made. Did you know that Jesus is the seed of Abraham? He's the seed of the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Think about this. Jesus is the picture of every promise in the Bible. Jesus is the picture of every promise that's ever been made, even in the Old Covenant, in the Bible. He is the incorruptible seed. It means that He will produce after His kind without any corruption, without any deformity, without anything different at all. His seed produces like kind, exactly like Himself. I agree. And here's the kicker to it. Jesus is God's vision for you. Jesus is God's vision for you. Since before time began, that's how God has seen you. Just like Jesus. That's His desire. And of course, it's up to us to make that decision. But that's how our Heavenly Father has seen us and desires for us to become and say yes to Jesus. Because He has great vision, great hope in each one of us because of His love. That's the way we've been designed. You know, in 1 John 4:17, it says, as He is, so are we in this world. So that reinforces that scripture right there, which is a promise.
Yes.
As He is, so are we in this world. And we're not as Jesus when He walked on the earth. That's as He is right now, seated at the right hand of the Father, Lord over all, with dominion and strength and grace to accomplish everything that God has placed in us. Full of love for everyone, including ourselves. God's vision is not just a vision, but it comes with provision. Everything that's required for us to accomplish in this life, the vision that God has placed in us, the provision has been already provided to make that happen. As we rely on Him. If need be, whatever finances are needed, those will come forth.
Yes.
Other people with skill sets that are needed will come forth.
Yes.
Because God is the one who is orchestrating things to make them happen, because He saw it when? Before time began. Oh, man. The question is, how do you see yourself? Are you looking at the natural? Are you looking at the hardships? Are you looking at the negative aspects that sometimes this life will dish out through no fault of our own? We just kind of got splashed with a bunch of stuff going on in somebody else's life. Are we focused on that? Are we looking at that? Or are we seeing ourselves, instead of like the watermelon, we're seeing ourselves like the seed that God saw from the beginning, and planting those seeds of greatness in our lives, and seeing what can be in Christ Jesus that He's placed in us, if we'll only believe. Believe in those precious promises, those pictures of Jesus that we've been given, that we'll become just like Him if we hold those pictures ahead of us in our hearts, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Yes.
Hold that picture up in front of us. Recite those precious promises that God's given to us to lead us into that destiny that He's placed in us. We're just cooperating with Him. And it's His power that makes it come to pass. It's not a work. It's not a work. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So it comes forth naturally, supernaturally. So there's a question. Do we still see ourselves as the watermelon, or do we see ourselves as a person of destiny that has seeds of greatness within us, that touches a lot of lives, that blesses all those around us by being the visionary that can set their destiny free in them by drawing that out of them? Are we more than conquerors in Christ Jesus? Do we live life more abundantly? Are we the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Are we seated with Him in heavenly places? Can we do all things through Christ who strengthens us? Are we that new creation in Christ Jesus? With old things that have passed away, we don't spend time on them anymore. We don't pay any attention to those things anymore. That's not our focus. That's not who we are. We've moved on in Christ Jesus to newness of life, to a vision that's been placed in us by God Almighty, our Heavenly Father. We can sow toward this destiny. We can sow, we can spend time, we can use our finances to sow into those things that help others to be set free, to be who they really are in Christ.
Yes.
And as time goes by, people will see Jesus in us. And that's the goal of our Heavenly Father.
Yes, that's right.
That we'll become Jesus on this earth.
Yes.
Because we're inhabited by Him. And He produces after His kind.
Yes, it does.
And in His likeness. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to pray with you. Father, we just thank you and praise you for who you are, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we just thank you that you have given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through him. Thank you, Father, that you have given us a destiny, that you've given us the ability to see things through your eyes. And Father, as we see the vision, the promise that you've given to us. We hold that picture in front of us, which is Jesus, that we are like him. You've made us that way. And to chip away those things and set that person free out of the mire. Thank you, Father. You have healed the brokenhearted. You've set the captives free. You've made us who we are in Christ Jesus. You're awesome, Father, and we thank you. And Father, I pray that every person that hears this message would see through your eyes who they really are, would see that others are that way also, even whenever exterior they are not living a godly life, but you see what you placed in them. So Father, we praise you and we thank you. We love you, Lord. And I pray that each one of us will become the visionaries that will see Jesus in others and release him out into their external lives. Father, I thank you that you loved us abundantly in Christ Jesus. Amen.